Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Katie F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, July 5th, 2016. Today we are reading from the Big Book, Chapter 6, and we are at page 78, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Leanne N. on the 12 Steps, Rita P. on the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Martha Z., Santa H., and Amy G. The reference number for Monday, July 4th, is 8888. That's 8888. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Leanne N. to read the 12 steps. Please press star one, Leanne.
Good morning, Katie. Thank you for your service. This is Leanne N. from New York. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. Have a great day, everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Leanne. I will now ask Rita P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everybody. This is Rita P., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Arkansas. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Rita. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing a topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, Chapter 6, on page 78, paragraph 2. I will ask Martha Z. to begin reading.
Good morning, Katie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for being there. This is Martha Z. I am a compulsive overeater recovered by the grace of God from near Philadelphia. Most alcoholics owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them what we're trying to do, we make no bones about our drinking. They usually know about it anyway, whether we think so or not. Nor are we afraid disclosing our alcoholism on the theory it may cause financial harm. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal, we can let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We lose our fear of our creditors no matter how far we have to go. We are liable to drink if we're afraid to face them. Good morning, my friends in recovery. So I was looking at this, and I was thinking, well, wow, you know, I don't – well, what I wanted to say first is that I wanted to look at it in a general way, and that was – instead of we lose our fear of creditors, because I was looking at it and I was thinking, I couldn't relate to that. So I was thinking, though, how important it is we lose our fear of anyone because, you know, we're liable to drink if we're afraid to face them. And I thought about it and I thought, you know, to overeat is to die, you know, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So it's very important not only in this specific sense, but also in the general sense that we have to lose our fear of anyone. So about a couple years ago when we were also in Step 9, I was doing Step 9 with my Big Book guide. And I had done the forums, but people were talking about things, and there were things that they were talking about that were not on my list. And they had to do with things like buying things, wearing them, and then taking them back and pretending like I'd never worn them, or using coupons that had been inspired, or using coupons that said you had to buy two and I only bought one. And, you know, they seemed like little things, but I really felt very uncomfortable with that. So I, like I said, people were talking about it, and it reminded me about it, and I thought, you know, I really need to do something about it. So I really did pray about it a lot, talked to a few people, and decided that what I would do is, I did not do it face-to-face. I guess I didn't want credit for doing it either. So I did do it anonymously. I wrote letters, and I tried to determine how much I thought it might be, And there were about three different stores that were involved. And I sent money, and I sent money to the point it would hurt, not like $20. You know, I made sure that I sent them a significant amount so that I would feel it, and that felt good. And then, you know, there was one time when I was shopping and I was smelling shampoo because I'm really scent sensitive, and I went to put the top back on the bottle and it wouldn't go back on, and I put it to the back of the shelf, and I thought, oh, I don't want anybody to pick this up. You know, it might go all over them. I left the store, and I thought, you've got to go back. So I go back, the guy's standing there, and he goes, you look really concerned. I've told him what happened. And he's teasing me. He's like, you know, you're going to have to pay for this. And I said to him, well, no, I'm prepared to do that. And anyway, so he takes the bottle, and it didn't screw back on. It just snapped back on. But I felt so good because I just knew, I guess these days you just don't get away with anything. It doesn't feel good to get away with anything. So if I have another quick second, I wanted to say one more thing. And I haven't heard this in this whole step 8-9 thing, but I was thinking about how in step 8, one of the ways we can become ready is that we have to let go of our resentments first before we can go to other people to be forgiven. Because if we don't, that's going to come out all over them. And so I was just thinking about the prayer of St. Francis, and it says, it is by forgiving that one is forgiven. So anyway, I just thought I would share that. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Martha. And who else, who would like to share on this paragraph?
Charles
Tina H. F. Shannon F.
Okay, I have Charles, Tina F., Shannon F. Anyone else?
Charles H.
Yes, I got you, Charles. You'll be first, and then I have Tina S. and Shannon S. Anyone else?
And Judith R.
Judith R. Okay. Well, we'll go with those four to begin with. Charles H., you're up, followed by Tina S.
Thank you, Katie, for your service. Charles H., a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. Most alcoholists owe money. We do not dodge our creditors, telling them what we're trying to do. That's so dope. I'm working with a fellow, and I started working with that fellow last Sunday, and we went over financial amends, and it was a lot, and I could identify with having a lot of them, and I could tell you on the other side of By no means, it's not over, because I could tell you some stories back in school when I took people's lunches and stuff like that, and you know it's not over, it's never over. However, some big ones like the IRS, and I ain't scared if we record. I'm a hood visionary, man. I'm from the hood, so I ain't really scared of nothing, and I'm really ready to go. You know what I'm scared of? I'm scared of not telling you, because some little things, some little secrets is going to kill me. The ninth step says it, and, you know, making the best deal with the IRS, I can remember running from it, man, running from them and knowing that it was going to kill me and I was not going to recover if I ran from it. So yeah, on the other side of them big financial amends, oh, it's so much freedom. It is so much freedom. So, man, it feels good. And I'm a lockdown with this, and I know a lot of people gonna want to touch down on this. You know, I love that quote from Mother Teresa. If you want to, a lot of noise on the line. Wow, I hear you. If you want to change the world, go home and love on your family. So I'm going to love on my home group. And with that, I'm going to pass. If somebody could just address that disrespectful, out of line person that's just wilding out on the line. I would greatly appreciate that. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Yes, I'm so sorry about that, Charles. Yes, there's someone that's shuffling papers, scraping something. If everybody could please just confirm that you are muted by pressing star one, I'd greatly appreciate it. And now we'll go with Tina S., followed by Shannon H. I mean, Shannon S. Thank you. Press star
Thanks,
one, please.
Katie, for your service. Tina S., compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. And, you know, I could really relate to Charles's share. And, you know, the good news today is I have freedom from this. And I was running for a long time. And, you know, one of the things that when I first became of age to get a job and to, you know, get some credit and get my automobile, I just felt so proud. And then over the years, through all my my sicknesses, you know, other things became more important than paying my bills. And I can remember I moved to Florida in 1987. That was the first time I went to treatment. And I thought I could run from these creditors. You know, I thought, well, you know, and my big excuse was, well, I didn't bring any of my bills with me. I laugh when I think about that today, long ago, but I didn't bring any of my bills with me, so I don't know where these people are. And so through this process, you know, I had the opportunity, because I was willing. You know, I wanted to set things right. You know, I wanted to make things right, and I wanted to start on a new path here. And I can remember I worked in a pharmacy at the time, and I was thinking, how am I going to, you know, make these amends? And got a phone call, and my real name is Tristina, and I never go by Tristina. I always go by Tina. And this phone call was for a Tristina, and it's amazing because it was one of the creditors, and it actually was, you know, a company that had consolidated the stuff that I owed. And I was afraid because I thought I won't be able to pay this. And they just, and I love what it talks about, you know, approach this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us, arranging the best deal we can. You know, it was a God thing. It was just set so that I was able to pay this debt off. And it really, you know, I was able to do it, you know, because I didn't make a whole lot of money at the time. And, you know, it's just amazing. And I love what, you know, like I said, what Charles shared, that there's just a freedom after this. There just is. And today, you know, one of the things that I know is that I pay my creditors, you know, because I don't want to feel the way that I felt before that I was running. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Tina. And now we have Shannon S., followed by Judith R.
Hello there, Shannon S., compulsive overeater. One of the creditors that was one of the scariest ones, or businesses that was the scariest ones for me to repay, was actually the grocery stores. I used to eat a massive amounts of food from the bulk section. And logically, I knew that it wasn't going to be a huge catastrophe to fess up, say what I had done, and pay what I thought I owed. But there was still just this fear that was going on. But I knew deep down that I had to be willing, because holding on to that spiritual junk of not righting that wrong was not something I wanted to weigh on my soul for the rest of my life. So I remembered to just be willing and to just see what might pop up. I mean, my hands were shaking as I was trying to, like, give the check to them and also try and find a manager that would spare some time to sit down or get outside the retail line where other people wouldn't see this. But I went forward no matter what. And, you know, where it says sometimes our creditors will surprise us, I was shocked when I saw their experiences. The managers or whomever I had to pay back were just flabbergasted that somebody would fess up to this, step up to the plate, and do the right thing. They were actually cheering me on for my path of recovery, because I had just mentioned, you know, I'm just doing this because I'm a person in recovery. I need to do this in order for me to recover. So I need to turn this money over. And they did accept one way or another. But they were just, like, amazed. And they really gave me kind words of encouragement and love. And so anytime that I now start to see, when I get really nervous about doing step nine amends, I also, and also paying back debtors, I also remember that this is a part of my story that once I'm on the other side, it's going to serve a huge purpose to the people that I sponsor or just share stories with, because somewhere down the line, there's going to be another person, another compulsive overeater, that's scared to pay back their creditors or businesses they stole from. And just to be willing to say that, you know what, this was my experience, and it did turn out for the positive, no matter what way the story looked like, it has value and purpose. So I always remind myself of that when I'm getting nervous about paying back creditors or making amends. But I think I will let that pass, but I always see, like, keep an open mind. So just open the door to whatever is available for God to let flow through in, and then know that chances are I'm not going to be burned at the stake, you know, when I'm trying to pay back creditors or, you know, go forward with recovery in this. So with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Shannon. Judith R., you're up.
Thanks, Katie. This is Judith R., recovered in Vermont. Most alcoholics owe money. Most compulsive overeaters owe money. I did not identify with that. It was like, well, that one doesn't apply to me. And only in the last couple weeks have I started coming out of denial. Mine were very subtle, at least in my mind. I remember buying some videos from a professional group that I belong to, and just waiting a really long time to pay them until they were forgotten. And I did that with a private person as well. And now I'm going to have to look her up and find out if I can find her name and address from 10 or 15 years ago and pay. And I just felt like I felt so financially insecure that I was always very, very hard. I just wouldn't spend any money on myself, and I wouldn't spend any money on anything. And that's not the way God would have me be. And I'm just so grateful that I finally came out of denial, and I feel better already just knowing that I am going to send some checks to folks. Thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Judith. And now we'll open it up if there's anybody else who would like to share on this paragraph.
Hi, this is Janice M.
from Boston.
Matt M. from New Jersey.
Okay, I have Janice M., Katie G., Matt M.,
Kimberly L.
Kimberly L. and
Judy F.
Judy F. There was someone before you after Kimberly.
Amanda R.
Amanda R., okay. Anyone else before I shut this down? Okay, well, let's go with Janice M., Katie G., Matt M., Kimberly L., Amanda R., and Judy F. Janice M., you're up.
Yes, thank you, and good morning to you, Katie F., and everybody. My name is Janice M., and I am a grateful recovered compulsive overeater. Well, when I came to this step, I said, I don't really owe any money to anybody because I never really stole, except when I was little, I think I stole some lipstick, but I had to either return the lipstick or return the worth that it was. That's what I was taught. But anyway, as I, you know, got into, you know, the ninth step, I rationalized a lot. I justified a lot. And I'm talking about a family business when I thought that I was entitled to the money. You know, nobody's going to know it. Nobody, you know. And behind that entitlement, I had a lot of resentment towards, you know, my father. He was, you know, doing things on his own with the business. And I thought, well, you know, I'm a co-owner. If he can do it, I can do it. Well, that didn't make it right. And the thing, the bottom line for me was, and somebody told me this, and you know, to begin with, whether it's the IRS, whether it's the family business, whether it's the store, it's not my money to begin with. And when we say, well, we got to pay it back, yeah, we got to pay it back. Well, it wasn't mine to begin with. So, you know, that made me feel better. It was like, yeah, I'm not entitled to that money. That I'm not really paying it back. It wasn't mine. So I think that's a big lead for me that helped me. And, you know, you might say, well, yeah, the business isn't there anymore. And, you know, so-and-so died. Well, we know that those of us that have gone through this, that, of course, we can make a donation, whether it's to whatever, you know, department or, you know, charity that you want to, or it could even be to OA. You know, it doesn't matter, you know. We could Division for You or whatever. We could always use the money to do other things and pay it off that way. And I think that's that's for me worked. And again, the freedom. And, you know, we're not making a deal. We can make a deal, but like it was just said, which I loved, was, you know, we have to go through with it. We can make a deal, but we have to do the action. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Janice. And Katie G, you're up, followed by Matt M.
Hi, Katie. It's Katie. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Katie G, recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. And just starting my timer, I'm the queen manipulator. You know, like I was very subtle, I thought, you know, with the money that people owed me and this feeling. And as a previous speaker shared, it wasn't my money. And when I, in my first round of amends, I brought cash. I brought cash because even if they said to me, you know, oh, you don't owe me that or whatever, it's not my money. Like the grocery store that I worked for, I gave them a wad of $100 because it wasn't my money. And they weren't to, you know, thank me or whatever. I'm the one that stole it. I contacted Amazon for my being dishonest about the warranty date on a product that I bought and wanting a new one. And I still can get caught in that. You know, this isn't good enough. Let me get a new one. I stole from my company in terms of not doing my job. And most recently, I made a $4,000 financial amend to my patients. And then also showed up a half an hour to an hour early every day for 5 months because I didn't have the money to really restore to my company. And, you know, financial amends are like a continuous evolving. You know, I'm in a relationship now, and when I let my fiance know about the financial amend, he even said to me, gee, you know, I wish you'd considered talking to me about that first. And the reason I bring that up is because I'm always learning, right? Like, I'm always learning, like, yes, I owe the money, but I have to be considerate of the people that I'm in financial engagements with. My father is somebody who I manipulated for money for a very long time, and he won't accept my money, but I did find places to make donations to, and I can hear you unmuted. I don't know what you're battering, but it's not very nice. Anyway, so it just, it's my willingness to think outside of the box. And I'm not, you know, I still have to watch this each and every day. How's my integrity? What's my money? Am I trying to get away with things? Am I saying that people owe me something? Am I wanting to bring something back to the grocery store? You know, I'm not getting away with stuff. I remember, I'll just close with this, with a yoga studio. Like, I lied to them that I was a student for years. Because I'm KDG, and don't you know that I shouldn't have to pay full price? So the price of the willingness to be uncomfortable and to go to any lengths and make sacrifices is freedom, and that's what I want today. And I'm going to continue to work on this with all of you a day at a time, because if I don't, eating will be a step up, and I do not want to go back there one day at a time, and I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. And yes, just another reminder to please stay muted if you're not Matt M., who's up next, followed by Kimberly L.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Matt, My name is Matt M. I'm a compulsive overeater over here in New Jersey. You know, this paragraph is very powerful for me. I tried to avoid reading it recently because, you know, I had that sense of entitlement. I was entitled to keep my money. A lot of the creditors, the bill collectors, like the phone company, you know, the cable company, they shouldn't have charged me so much money. They should know better, you know. Or I'm just a master manipulator. A fool and his money assume parted. I had a really close friend here in the rooms, and I borrowed $200 from him, saying that I was using it for moving expenses, and I went in and ate it. I borrowed money from one of my ex-sponsors, almost $300. I borrowed a couple dollars here and there from some old friends. I treated the rooms like it was my own personal ATM, and I mistreated everybody everywhere I went. You know, I became, like I said, the master manipulator, the boy who cried wolf. I was always had a sad story to tell. And people who knew me, liked me, they always say, oh, man, we'll give you some money. Don't worry. You'll be okay. You know, I could have very easily, this time around, I'm going to lose my storage unit and have all my stuff in because I mismanaged my money a couple months ago and I missed the payment. And now all the late fees and everything they put on top of it, I can't afford it, so it's going to have to go up for auction. I could have very easily went to a family member I know and asked him to pay it and put a sob story on him because he really doesn't like you right now because of all the money that I borrowed from him over the past. But he probably would have done it so I can keep my stuff from the house. But yeah, that would have been wrong. I have to accept my fate. I have to accept things as they are. And I have to get going and start paying so many people back. And I have. I already paid one person back my financial amends. And it's a pretty long list. I have a lot of creditors to pay. And, the money that I make is not my money. It's already accounted for. I can't be selfish or egotistical and say, well, you know what, they shouldn't have kept bugging me all those years to pay these bills, you know. This money is theirs, and I have to work hard to find a way to make a payment plan with all of them, and I'm just going to take it one day at a time, one person at a time, and eventually I'll make all my financial amends, but I have the willingness to do it because the old Matt would have said, yeah, screw them, they don't need their money back, they should have, but they shouldn't, like I said, they shouldn't have charged me in the first place, and with that, I'll pass.
Okay, thank you, Matt. Kimberly L., you're up, followed by Amanda R.
Good morning. This is Kimberly L. from Georgia, recovered compulsive overeater. So I think I've shared this before. This part has always scared me. It wasn't so much the fourth and fifth step, although I did have some fear around it. It is making the financial amends that has always made me run when it comes to the ninth step. And I don't have a lot to share this morning. However, what I do want to say is that by working the steps in order and by the guidance of those that have gone before me, I am willing to do this because I want the freedom at the other end. That last sentence, we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we are afraid to face them. That is where the willingness comes because I don't want to eat again. I have made some small steps towards making some financial amends since working through the ninth step, and the freedom that has come on the other end has also helped me to lose the fear. And it's going to be okay. You know, I was wrong in what I did, and I have some significant wrongs to make right. And one day at a time, and by the guidance of those that have gone before me, and with the strength of my higher power, I am going to get through this. I want the freedom at the other end. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kimberly. And Amanda R., you're up, followed by Judy S.
Hi, this is Amanda R. I am a recovered compulsive eater in Maine. And I want to share a little story about a financial amends because I went and made amends to my dad in my ninth step, and I said, hey, I owe you this money. I don't know if you know that, but I had cost him money I had come up with a reason that he needed to pay for a medical bill. This is back when I'm like a teenager, but the reason was made up. So I go to him, I'm shaking in my boots, and I tell him, and he's like, well, you know, don't worry about it. Just save up that amount of money and use it for something, you know, some sort of trip or something fun. I'm like, okay. And then part two, is there anything else? Like I ask him, is there anything else that you think I owe you money for? And he's like, well, yes. What about that blankety blank lawyer's bill? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I thought that was a gift, but evidently he did not think it was a gift. And so I'm like, all right, I'll work on paying that back. It's going to be kind of slow. And he didn't want me to pay on it until I was on more firm financial footing. But I said, you know, it really means a lot to me to even be making small payments. Just for my own peace of mind, I want to feel like I'm not avoiding this and I'm making progress on it. So he said, all right, why don't you take the money and put it into your son's college fund? And so that's what I'm doing. I'm doing it just little by little by little. And it's a metaphor for the whole program, because not only have I lost my shame over that money that I owed my dad, but I have also gained something even better, which is that I feel great because I'm contributing to my son's college fund. And you know, it's not a lot. It's going to be a long time until I get paid back, but just the relief of knowing I'm doing what I can and I'm not avoiding it. And it's kind of like the whole program of OA as a whole. Like, not only am I losing weight, which is what I came for, because like scary health stuff, weight out of control, eating crazy. Not only am I losing that weight, but I'm gaining so much sanity and joy and, like they say, a sense of usefulness in life that, you know, I didn't really believe those promises when I first came into OA, but here they are happening, and I'm really happy. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. And now we have Judy F., and then Santa H. will take us into the next paragraph.
Thank you, Katie F. Great to hear you. Thank you for your service. Good morning. This is Judy F., recovered compulsive reader from Massachusetts. And I'm just going to time myself here. Go. This paragraph really reminded me this morning about how this is a program of action, and I the results of it are this. For me, there was the results were my fear of economic insecurity will leave us. You know, one of the promises after the ninth step, because money for me was besides the food as my higher power, so is money, and money still can be. I can still tell the lie that I. If I just have enough money, I'll be okay. I'll have that security. And this taking these actions of giving back what so many have said was not mine in the beginning, but my sick thinking rationalized it was my money. I always had excuses and reasons why I did something. And it was usually because I was in disease thinking based on lies. And so I did, I remember I had got my first treatment center, and I owed thousands of dollars, and I paid it back $5 a week. And so it took me many years, but that's when, you know, my self-esteem started to build. And when I think about it, before I came into recovery, I was in lots of therapy, and, you know, for self-esteem, for assertiveness, and I never, and to get rid of the shame, and nothing ever worked. But this program of action, this step was so, and still is so integral in my well-being and me being right with myself, with God, and with others. And there's nothing like it. That people talk about that freedom to be able to look people in the eye. And to not be looking over my shoulder, and just to be clean. And some of the companies that I owed had gone, either they went bankrupt or they were no longer in existence. And I stole a lot of staplers and supplies, time. And also they had one where you can take as much candy and just put in, you know, the money. So I did give to charities, but I did not, it was all anonymous, because if I put my name on it, I would get credit, and it wasn't my money to be getting credit for. So with the help of a recovered sponsor and God, and this also brought me closer to God, because at the end, you know, we must lose our fear of creditors no matter how far we go. Like losing the fear and gaining the faith in God. And I had to go in with God every step of the way. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Judy F. And Santa H., will you please read the next paragraph?
Certainly. Good morning, my fellow visionaries. My name is Santa H. from New Jersey, gratefully recovered, living in the solution one day at a time. Perhaps we have committed a criminal offense that might land us in jail as if we're known to the authorities. We may be short on our accounts and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person, but we were sure we would be in prison or lose our job if it were known. Maybe it's a petty offense, such as padding the expense account. Most of us have done that sort of thing. Maybe we were divorced and have remarried, but haven't kept up with alimony to number one. She's indignant about it, has a warrant out for our arrest. That's a common form of trouble, too. And let me set my timer here. Wow. I first have to say, for me, I'm grateful that I don't identify into this paragraph. But I think here what I'm wanting to share and what I'm getting from this here is that what these writers are sharing with anyone is that there's no exceptions. They use the words perhaps, maybe. And I love that they comfort me with the words where most of us have done that sort of thing. So if I have done these types of crimes, whether they are criminal offense or whether they are petty offenses, that they're letting me know that you're not by yourself. You're not alone. And so they said that this is a common form of trouble too. And then what it also reminds me of, because I am not no saint. I love what it says on page 60. It says that we are not saints, and that's including myself. It says, but the point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. And that's the point that they're willing to get across here to me, is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines, the willingness. And also what came out for me today, which everyone shared on, and I love what Martha started out in her share, which she said, we must lose our fear over everyone. And so what I'm gathering from this paragraph, just continuing, picking back what she said, is that I must lose my fear over every situation. And so, and then the other thing that came to me was that something that my step guy said to me that was helpful to me is that is the word freedom. And it was talked about on a meeting today, the word freedom quite often, but she uses the ninth step of men's as what is called the freedom junket. And I love that, you know, because, you know, and I also hear in a line that really rings true to me as I was listening is I always hear Leah say, how free do you want to be? So I asked myself, Santa, when I was going through this process, how free do I want to be? You know, and I would ask myself, well, what does that freedom look like in the end? Because to me, I'm a very visual person, so I have to see it. And so I'm going to end with the promises, is what the book is telling me, what these writers have said to me, and I have found to be true in my own life, that if I'm willing to do the work, if I want to be free, this is what freedom will look like and what it does for me today. It says on page 84, no matter how far down the scale we have gone, that is so beautiful to me, we will see that our experiences can benefit others. And that has been such a testimony for me in my life today. That if I don't have anything to give away, then how can I be useful? So I'm grateful today for my experiences. And then I like also what it says here is that we will have a feeling of usefulness. I'm sorry, the feeling of usefulness and self-pity would disappear. And that has been true for me. And also it says self-seeking will slip away. And I love this part here where it says I will have a whole new attitude out on life. And I will see situations differently. And I will realize that God is doing more for me than I can ever do for myself. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Santa. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Naomi B.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Naomi.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Good morning, my family. This is Naomi B., grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Well, this really hit me. I'm just sitting here listening to everyone and thinking, you know, that's not me, that's not me. And then, boing, something pops in my brain. In this paragraph, criminal offense, and maybe it's only a petty offense. Well, what came to mind was, back in the 70s, I worked for a drugstore, and I was a cashier. And when I would accumulate some products that I wanted to take home, I'd have another cashier ring it up for me. And what the cashiers would do for each other, we'd ring up, if you had like five articles, they'd ring up two. And I'm just sitting here, I'm thinking, all this is just coming back to me, and this is an amends I've never made. And it's like, wow, I was stealing. Now, one time I actually lost that particular job, because a little old lady came in, she had a little bit of money, and I gave her a discount on a product. And it came back to bite me in the rear end, because she wrote a letter to the company thanking them for me because I was so generous with her. Well, I got fired because that generosity was fake. And I was not an authority figure. I was only a cashier. And I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I never addressed it. It was so long ago, and my life has so changed with this program, and I'm an honest person. And, you know, when things come up or something, you know, I call to make sure that it's okay, that I can do this. I just recently had a product that I was separating, and I called and I said, this is what's going on. And they said, oh, it's still within warranty. We'll send you a new one. I said, what do I do with the old one? I'm still workable. And they said, well, you can just keep it or just, you know, donate it or something like that. But this other situation with this store, I'm definitely going to talk to my sponsor and see what we could work out, because that store is not in existence. There's another store. They've changed hands. But, wow, because I know, and I, too, say what Leia says about how free do you want to be. I want to be free, because I know the drudgery and the poison and the hell that I was in when I was in the food. And thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Naomi. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Marion H.
Yeah, I got Marion H, and it sounded like someone else was in there.
Kim G.
Melissa C.
Okay. We'll take those three, and then we will probably be out of time. Go ahead, Marion H, followed by Kim G.
Good morning, fellow compulsive eaters and everything else. I just need to say that I'm nervous about sharing, but I really relate it. I have three things that I've done. My husband had a company, no longer, because he's retired, and I was doing the cash. I was working with cash, and it's a family business. And my sister-in-law was doing the payroll, and she told me that $20 is missing. So I admitted to her that it was me. So that wasn't so bad, and I gave it back. There's an Orbax in New York City, which is no longer there. I walked out with a pocketbook, and they caught me. So that was very, very embarrassing. And I was with my mom, and she was encouraging me to do that. She should rest in peace. She's gone now. And then the third thing, I was in a supermarket, and I'm shopping, and I was changing labels to make it cheaper. And I saw that this guy was following me from aisle to aisle. And then when I finished and I paid, they took me in the back. And again, it was very, very embarrassing. And I paid the difference. And that's what I did. So it, you know, it feels really good to talk about it, because I never really talked about it at all, ever. So I'm so grateful for the vision and everyone who shares and everyone who does service. And thank you so much, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Marion. And Kim G, you're up, followed by Melissa C.
Good morning, Katie. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G. Maybe it's only a petty offense, such as padding the expense account. You know, there's one specific amends that really set me free. because I would go to OA meetings and we'd read the ninth step, and I always thought about this situation, and I talked to people, and they always told me I didn't need an amends. And it was that I worked at a 7-Eleven in college, and my boss made it okay for us to steal. He taught us that if we do certain things, then we can eat for free because he would write it off to 7-Eleven. So therefore, I don't owe money because 7-Eleven isn't out of money, and my boss told me to do it. And when I finally went to this big book method, and I looked at that fourth column of where I'm selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened, I saw that it is my own, I knew it was against my morals. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't make it okay. And the self-seeking is, well, if everyone else is getting away with it, then I should be able to get away with it. So I had to get clear on padding the expense account. Whatever other people were doing was irrelevant, and I needed to get right with that. And I worked through that process, and I didn't owe money to 7-Eleven, and I didn't owe money to my boss, but I wound up donating money to a food bank. And that has felt so good, and I have realized I have stolen so much food from the universe that I now once a month, one paycheck a month, donate a certain amount of food to that food bank in order to do that. And that is the freedom. And I just want to say that because this this big book method is so powerful. So if there are nine step amends that you have on it that people are telling you don't need to make, but it keeps coming up, if it is blocking you from a spiritual awakening, go to someone who's recovered, find out what that is. And just to extend that, how that extends into our life, I found I had done it again. A couple years ago, I work at an auto auction, and I worked on the Subaru account, and we used to get free lunches at my auction when I worked on that Subaru account. And when I was off the account, the person who was working it still gave me the free lunch ticket. I'm not entitled to it. I'm not working on that account anymore. And I would take it and take it. And suddenly, when I was doing some 11-step work, I realized that I was doing that. Now, I went back and did my work 4 through 9, and I could not give money to my company because what would happen is I would get her in trouble because she's not supposed to be giving me that ticket. So I could not make that amends. But what I understood was that I was going to sell out my recovery for $6, which is how much my lunch normally cost me at my office. For $6, I would sell out my recovery. So that's why it's so essential. We don't identify in with the criminal offenses, but where are we skirting the issues? Where are we taking advantage of the system? Where are we thinking that we're entitled? All the stuff that we're hearing about. Because what I have found is that the road gets more narrow because I cannot tolerate resentment, fear, and any time of conduct that does not align with my higher power. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Kim. Melissa C., you'll be our last share today.
Hi, good morning. It's Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. And, this petty kind of offense, my experience with needing to make amends in this area was I was a Girl Scout leader for my daughter's troop for years. And one of the things that we did was we collected candy to after Halloween to send to the troops, to the U.S. troops. And there was candy that never made it out of my car. I collected candy from coworkers. One in particular gave me a huge bag of candy, and I didn't set out to eat it all, but that is what happened. The candy never left my car, and I ate it. And when I was going through my amends, my sponsor had said to me, the person was throwing the candy away, so you don't necessarily need to go to her, but you do need to make sure that the monetary equivalent makes it to the troops, and so I did make those donations, but I didn't feel right. And so that tells me that wasn't done. The writing of the check, the giving of the money was actually really easy because I thought it was going to get me out of really having to own up to it. But every time I saw that coworker, I felt uncomfortable. I couldn't look her in the eye. And I thought about, what kind of helped me in that situation was I thought about my daughter. Here I was being a troop, a Girl Scout leader for her Girl Scout troop. And I was supposed to be modeling, morals, values. And
I thought about what would I want her to do in this situation. And as hard as it is, yeah, I think owning up to it. You know, and so when I replace the thought of how do I look at my daughter, well, how does my higher power look at me? And what do I need to do to be free? You know, that's what this is about, having freedom. And I did go to that coworker, and I told her exactly what I had done. She was floored. She said, Melissa, I don't remember ever giving you the candy, but if you say you did, I believe it. And then she wound up telling me her own experiences with 12 steps. And, you know, and so I was able to come clean with it. I can look this woman in the eye any day. And today I'm free as a result. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. And thank you to everyone who has shared today. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Amy G. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, Katie. This is Amy G., recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Thank you so much for your service and for an awesome meeting, everyone. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you unto them. And with that, I'll pass.